This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 30th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, some innovations on using abandoned underground mines as green resources. We'll also have a changeable weather forecast, a colder and snowier forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. George Ryan's racketeering and fraud conviction could wind up costing him his freedom, but it will also cost him his pension. Sean Crawford has more.
The former governor's decades of public service allowed him to build a large nest egg, a pension that pays him about $200,000 a year. But his conviction earlier this year has led to his benefits being revoked. The Illinois General Assembly Retirement System Board voted unanimously to deny Ryan the annual payout, health coverage, and life insurance. State lawmakers serve on the board, and one of them, Bloomington Republican Senator Bill Brady, says it was the right decision.
Well, you never want to kick someone when they're down. We have a responsibility. We did the right thing to the taxpayers of Illinois. And I think we did the right thing for the future of Illinois to send the message, as indicated earlier, that criminal behavior will be punished and held accountable.
Ryan can still file for a refund of money he paid into the system, roughly $230,000. He can also fight the pension denial in court. Ryan won a court victory this week when it was ruled he can remain free on bond while his attorneys appeal his conviction. Ryan had been set to report to federal prison in January to begin serving a more than 6-year sentence. I'm Sean Crawford.
A University of Illinois law professor says the bail in George Ryan's case wasn't terribly surprising. Andrew Leopold says while it's unusual for a court to grant bail pending appeal, Ryan's defense team did its job by raising questions about problems with the jury. Leopold notes even Judge Pallmeyer said the excusing of jurors and having new ones start during deliberations became an issue.
The standard on appeal for getting released on bail is whether or not the appeal itself raises a question of law, a substantial question of law that is likely to result in an order for a new trial.
Leopold says the decision does not necessarily mean Ryan would actually be granted a new trial. He says it doesn't change the prosecution's case against the former governor, but he says it's hard to say how long Ryan will remain a free man. Leopold says paperwork on the case will proceed according to the schedule of court briefings, and there's little precedent as to when the appeals court will make its decision. A local attorney is suing the city of Champaign, saying city officials violated the state's Open Meetings Act last week. Attorney Ruth Wyman says the city council should have taken a roll call vote instead of a voice vote when moving into closed session in its November 21st meeting. She also says the council failed to provide notation or disclose beforehand what it planned to discuss. But city attorney Fred Stavens says council members used the same procedure they have for years when council member Gina Jackson moved for that closed session.
She made, I thought, a very clear motion. It was clearly seconded, and it was voted on by the entire city council that was present at the time. And it was all on cable television. How that could not be a publicly disclosed vote is certainly beyond me.
Wyman also says several staff members joined the council in closed session that night. Stavens says that's a standard practice to have experts in various issue or areas present during closed session, such as attorneys when litigation is discussed. Council members had planned to talk about litigation and land acquisition that night. Wyman is an attorney with the Robert Kirchner Law Office, which filed the complaint. She's seeking an injunction preventing the council and Mayor Jerry Schweihart from any further violations of the Open Meetings Act and for public disclosure of that closed session. The price of milk, gasoline, and other necessities has risen since 2003, the last time Illinois upped its minimum wage, and advocates say that's why it's time to increase it again. They're on their way to succeeding, a measure that would increase it to $7.50 an hour passed the Illinois House yesterday. Democrat Deborah Graham of Chicago said during the debate that it's the only way some health care workers will receive the raise they deserve.
I don't know about you, but we're not getting any younger. One day, each and every last one of us may be faced with going into a nursing home. I would like for the nursing home care providers to get paid an adequate amount of money to take care of me properly when I get there.
But opponents of the increase, mostly Republicans, said it will make Illinois less competitive. They predict small family-owned businesses will be forced to lay off workers or reduce hours in order to afford the more expensive payroll. Critics also say it would harm middle-class families because stores would raise the price of goods. The state Senate could approve the plan today, and the governor has said he'll sign it into law. It would take effect next summer. The Illinois House is saying no to the Blagojevich administration's efforts to settle a dispute with the federal government. Federal officials say the state misspent millions of dollars in job training funds. The administration has agreed to repay almost $8 million of the jobs money. But the Illinois House failed to sign off on the deal yesterday. A measure providing that money only got 65 of the 71 votes it needed. Republican lawmakers complained they were being asked to clean up a mess created by the governor. They called it just the latest example of mismanagement. A dozen states, including Illinois, took the fight over global warming to the U.S. Supreme Court on Wednesday. They want to force the Bush administration to require fewer greenhouse gas emissions from new cars. From Washington, Sam Hudzik reports.
Scientists who filed briefs supporting the lawsuit say climate change could mean more severe weather and flooding for Illinois. And Attorney General Lisa Madigan says that could be trouble for the state's agricultural economy. David Bookbinder is with the Sierra Club, one of several environmental groups supporting the lawsuit.
Illinois recognizes that we need to begin addressing the problem of global warming. And the first step in that is getting the Supreme Court to confirm to EPA, yes, it has authority to deal with this issue.
The EPA's lawyer told the Supreme Court that regulations could be harmful to the U.S. economy and that the science on global warming is still too uncertain. The Supreme Court is expected to rule on the case by next summer. I'm Sam Hudzik.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Underground mines that were abandoned long ago are coming back to haunt the people and places above them. The voids and the toxic metals left behind are posing new kinds of environmental challenges. But one church that was almost destroyed by a mine void is now trying to turn it into a new kind of green resource. Catherine Fink of the Environment Report has more.
John Wesley AME Zion Church is on a street where cars don't stop. Crime rates are high here. A faded sign with graffiti on it indicates where a convenience store used to be. Most of the church's stained glass windows are either missing or covered with plywood. Pastor Calvin Cash says he remembers when things were different.
This was once a thriving community. Stores, residential homes, businesses, the whole bit.
Cash was first assigned to the church in 1996. It had been closed for a couple years. He found 18 inches of orange water in the basement. Moss was growing on the walls. Cash says church leaders had known about the water problem, but thought they had it under control.
And for years, they've had sump pumps down in the basement. And when the water reached a certain level, the sump pumps would come on and it would carry it away.
Meanwhile, state environmental workers were investigating another mysterious pool of water down the street. They suspected an old underground mine had filled with water and was starting to burst. One of those workers, Charles Johnson, noticed the church nearby.
I left a card inside of the mailbox and with my number on it and said, if you are having any water in your problems in your basement, give me a call. So within 2 days, Reverend Cash gave me a call. I said, you got to come up and see this.
Mine-related issues are not new for the Pittsburgh area, which has one of the largest coal seams in the country. But water problems like these are becoming increasingly common as more and more mine voids fill to capacity. Johnson says in the church's case, the need for a fix was urgent.
The pressure on the building from the water, it was just a matter of time before the pressure would just collapse the whole building.
Workers redirected the water into local storm sewers, relieving the pressure on the church. Since then, Johnson says they have learned that mine water can actually be useful. Its constant 57-degree temperature makes it an attractive candidate for a geothermal heating, which uses the Earth's natural warmth. George Watzloff with the National Energy Technology Laboratory has studied the idea.
Yeah, you could probably reduce their heating and cooling costs, 60, 70, maybe 80% the annual cost.
Geothermal heat is becoming increasingly common as a lower-cost alternative to natural gas. Pipes filled with an antifreeze solution carry heat from deep in the earth up into buildings. Instead of using antifreeze, Watzloff says he wants to build a system that draws in mine water.
We're trying to put together a small project where we price everything out to say, okay, all we need is $10,000 to go out and put in a small system somewhere and heat a shed or something like that, just to, no pun intended, get our feet wet and just learn some things about some of the potential problems and how we can overcome those problems.
Reverend Cash wants his church to be that demonstration project. Since learning about geothermal heat and its potential cost savings, Cash is convinced it could save his blighted neighborhood. He's become a convert to all things green.
We are responsible for this world, and God expects us to take care of it.
On this night, Cash is holding a workshop at the church to help residents learn how to make their homes more energy efficient. Only one person came. Trays full of untouched sandwiches, fried chicken, and cookies are being wrapped up for another day. But Reverend Cash says he's not discouraged. Sometimes, he says, it takes something big to get people's attention.
One of the best proofs of it, when they were taking that water out of there, we had all that heavy equipment active out there. And if 10 cars went by, 9 of them slowed down or stopped to see what was going on. And I think when we start building back this community, that curiosity will grow and benefit us. So we'll hold on and see.
Cash is hoping to convince the state to have faith in geothermal heat. His church is applying for a grant this year. For the Environment Report, I'm Catherine Fink.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
Be sure to watch the weather today as the picture changes for a lot of us. Temperatures are already down substantially from yesterday, and they'll go even lower with snow in the forecast. Today in northwest Illinois becoming partly sunny, but in west central and northern Illinois, snow and snow showers. In the rest of Illinois and in Indiana, rain and isolated thunderstorms this morning, followed by some freezing rain and sleet mixing in this afternoon. That includes the Champaign-Urbana area. Highs ranging today from only 24 in northwest Illinois to 60 still in southeast Indiana. Tonight, in northern sections of Illinois and Indiana and in the western part of Illinois, snow mixed at times with sleet. In central and southwest Illinois, including Champaign-Urbana, rain, sleet, and freezing rain this evening, then changing to snow overnight. And in southeast Illinois and central and southern Indiana, showers and isolated thunderstorms this evening, then some sleet mixing in overnight. Lows from 18 in northwest Illinois to 40 in southeast Indiana. And for tomorrow, over most of the two states, snow diminishing from west to east during the day, some sleet in eastern Indiana, and highs tomorrow ranging from 30 in northwest Illinois to 45 in southeast Indiana. A winter storm warning is in effect for central and northern Illinois, a winter weather advisory in effect for a portion of northwest Illinois and portions of southwest and south central Illinois, and a winter storm watch for much of southern and southwest Illinois from this morning through late tonight. Keep up with the weather. Go to WILL.UIUC.EDU. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 30th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, WILL.UIUC.EDU. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.